This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fargo. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
The first reading is from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8, found on page 744 of the Common English Bible, or on page 554 in the New Revised Standard Version. Both of these Bibles are in your pew. The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of humanity? The answer? To glorify God and enjoy God forever. Psalm 103 is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise to God, proclaiming the Lord's righteousness and justice on behalf of those who are oppressed. Let us raise our voices together, proclaiming this eternal truth. Let my whole being bless the Lord. Let everything inside me bless his holy name. Let my whole being bless the Lord and never forget all his good deeds, how God forgives all your sins, heals all your sickness, saves your life from the pit, crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and satisfies you with plenty of good things, so that your youth is made fresh like an eagle's. The Lord works righteousness, does justice for all who are oppressed. God made his ways known to Moses, made his deeds known to the Israelites. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, very patient and full of faithful love.
Our gospel reading today, prescribed to us by the Revised Common Lectionary, is from Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 22. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. A woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. When he saw her, Jesus called her to him and said, "Woman, you are set free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and she straightened up at once and praised God. The synagogue leader, incensed that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded, "There are 6 days during which work is permitted. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord replied, "Hypocrites! Don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from its stall and lead it out to get a drink? This isn't necessary that a woman, a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said these things, all his opponents were put to shame, but all those in the crowd rejoiced at all the extraordinary things he was doing. Jesus asked, "What is God's kingdom like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in a garden. It grew, and it developed into a tree, and the birds in the sky nested in its branches." Again, he said, "To what can I compare God's kingdom? It's like yeast, which a woman took and hid in a bushel of wheat flour until the yeast had worked its way through the hole." Jesus traveled throughout the cities and villages, teaching and making his way to Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord God, today we gather to celebrate the beginning of a new school year. It is a day filled with joy and excitement, as well as uncertainty and wonder. God of knowledge and wisdom, we pray for our schools that they may be lively centers for learning and new discovery. We pray also for our places of work, that our time laboring may be fruitful and enriching. Hear our prayer.
Lord, as we begin this year, give us all open minds and open hearts to learn and experience more fully the majesty of the world you have created. Give us peace when we feel nervous, focus when we feel distracted, and energy when we feel tired. Hear our prayer.
Lord, bless these backpacks and the children and youth who carry them. Guide them in making good choices as they grow in wisdom and maturity. Be ever present with them in the classroom or lesson, on the school bus, the athletic field, the playground, after-school jobs, and at home. May they feel your loving care in all they do.
Lord, we ask for your blessings on these takes. May they remind us not to be conformed to the patterns in this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let kindness grow and friendship bloom in every heart, in every room.
Loving God, bless all who will teach us in these coming days and weeks and months. Give them the wisdom to find inspiration for every child. Give them the energy, creativity, and love that will make their work a blessing to our children.
Lord, bless all educational staff that they may be faithful stewards of the resources entrusted to their care. Guide them to do their crucial work with a spirit of grace and compassion.
God of wisdom and knowledge, bless these backpacks, book bags, briefcases, and totes, and the students, teachers, and workers who carry them. Remind us that you are always with us. Fill us all with the joy of learning new things, so that we may be better equipped to follow and serve you in all we do. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, of all our heart, be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it seems fitting, right on the heels of blessing of the backpacks and tags for the backpacks, that I do a little public service announcement for going back to school. Reminder that it is a Wisconsin law that if someone is in a crosswalk, especially at this time of year, if there's a child in a crosswalk, it's the law that you have to stop. Even if, you know, they didn't look, they just kind of wandered out there, you have to stop. I like using this Wisconsin law when I talk about what's right and what's wrong with other people. When someone says, well, this is the right thing to do, especially when it's, well, the Bible says this is the right thing. I bring up this crosswalk law and say, yes, you know what? I can walk out in the middle of Johnson Street. Johnson, I can just walk right out in the crosswalk and it's the law. Trucks, cars, anybody going the speed limit, going above the speed limit, they have to stop. I am in the right. So I'm right to walk out in that crosswalk and they have to stop. I might be right, but I'm going to be dead right. Is that really worth it? Sometimes I think that's a message we as Christians really need to hear. When we believe wholeheartedly that we are right, does that make it right? Or in a sense, are we crucifying Christ? Are we dead right? And not living out the life that Christ has offered to us. On this Sunday, we take a look at this text where Jesus does some work, quote unquote, on the Sabbath by healing a woman. Now, we might look at that and say, well, okay, he didn't get paid for that. It, Was it really work? Well, we need to look back at what were the laws of the time. The synagogue leader knew the Jewish laws, the religious laws of the day. And we read in verse 14 that he was incensed that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. He got indignant. He was right. There's 6 days during each week in which work is permitted. Come, be healed on one of those days, but not on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for rest. Shame on you, Jesus, for working on the Sabbath, breaking God's laws. You call yourself a teacher of God's law. That synagogue leader knew he was right. But Jesus showed him he was more or less dead right. He knew the basis of God's command. We would refer to it as the Ten Commandments. In there, and from Exodus chapter 20, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may do work and all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it." And then again, in Deuteronomy 5, we read, "Keep the Sabbath day and treat it as holy, exactly as the Lord your God commanded. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Don't do any work on it." I've heard many stories from recent past, I would say, within our lifetimes, of people who were reprimanded by their church for working on the Sabbath. Pastors or elders, deacons coming over to a person's house. "Ah, I hear that you were mowing your lawn on Sunday afternoon. You know, that's work. This is the Sabbath. We shouldn't be doing that." I also hear stories of people that are just woeful of that time long gone, those days when stores and businesses were all closed on Sunday. I hear the frustrations. I've experienced the realities of soccer and other sporting events on Sunday mornings, pulling us back and forth. The realities of work, livelihood, forcing us to figure out what is Sabbath. I've experienced the realities of lower worship attendance on Sundays when Packers have a noon game. It's a reality. Sundays for us are no longer this social, cultural Sabbath where everyone rests and does no work. And yet, was that ever really the case? I grew up on a farm. You can't put the cows on bypass on Sunday. Sorry, you've got to work. They've got to be fed. That's what Jesus uses as his example. There are things that we need to do that are very vital. So what is the Sabbath? What does it look like for us today to keep Sabbath? Why does God want us to keep the Sabbath? Has Jesus' death and resurrection maybe abolished the Sabbath of the old covenant? No. Should we still keep the Sabbath, or, it doesn't matter? Yes, we should keep Sabbath. But why and for what purpose are very important. What does the Sabbath have to do with God's kingdom? Jesus seems to put those together. Well, if we look at a very brief review of the Sabbath commands in Scripture, we find out what the real purpose, the intent that God has for it. Again, connecting with Exodus 20, God gives Moses and God's people the reason. Keep the Sabbath because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We need to find a day of rest. And then in Deuteronomy 5, recorded earlier, we get another explanation of the purpose of the Sabbath. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That's why the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath day. It's not about me. We don't keep the Sabbath. We don't gather for worship so that our battery can be recharged and we can go back out into the world. It's not about you or me. We keep the Sabbath for a different purpose. Maybe I can throw in Mark 2:27, where Jesus tells us the Sabbath was created for humans. Humans weren't created for the Sabbath. So was Jesus right, quote unquote, to heal on the Sabbath? Was he dead right? He was right. It's a synagogue leader who is dead right. By saying that Jesus was breaking the law, healing on the Sabbath, shouldn't be doing it. But then Jesus, he seems to change the topic. There seems to be this abrupt shift as we read through just this text. What is God's kingdom like? And I'm not sure if Jesus was asking this question of the religious leader, of the people, or if he was kind of pondering it. But he switches over to, what is God's kingdom like? That informs us about how to live the Sabbath and what the Sabbath is for. There's so much going on in this text. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He's healing. He heals a woman. I remember women were second class at the time. They were more or less property. She was physically deformed. That put her even further off on that sociological scale. People with deformities, they were a burden on society. They were a blight. They shouldn't be seen, especially around the synagogue. She would not have been welcome. And yet, Jesus reaches out to her and heals her. And then he talks about the kingdom. It's like a mustard seed, a little tiny seed grows into a tree, a large tree. Birds of the air have nests in it. It's like the yeast, little tiny yeast that works through the entire loaf of bread, and as it's rising and impacts everything, has so much power. But then our text seems to abruptly end. Then Jesus traveled through the cities and villages, teaching, making his way to Jerusalem. As I read through this, I was wrestling with that fact that, you know, Jesus doesn't really dive into this too much here. We don't have that explanation. We don't have so much focus on it. Why? In this portion of Luke's gospel, it's not what Luke wants to get into. It's sort of, those are all understood. You get the big picture of it. There's something else that's important. And when we look at verses 12 and 16, we find important clues that connects all this together. In verse 12, when Jesus saw her, Jesus called her to him. He saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, you are set free from your sickness." And in verse 16, he says, "Isn't it necessary that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" See, this woman wasn't just healed of physical deformities. She was set free. There's freedom, release. It goes back to Jesus' main point from Luke's gospel of why he's here. keeping the Sabbath is more about more than just simply resting. It's not a command that thou shalt not work. But we need to think about how we define work for this purpose. Keeping the Sabbath is about remembering what God has done. What God has done for others. Jesus defined the purpose and plan for his ministry back in Luke chapter 4. When he reads from the prophet Isaiah on that first moment out of into his ministry in his hometown, when they see this young man who grew up in their synagogue and hand him a scroll to be read. And he reads from the prophet Isaiah and then says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." And when he read from Isaiah 58:61, he read about God's liberation, God's freedom that's realized in Jesus Christ, in his life, death, and resurrection. It's not just about healing physically, it's about freeing this woman, giving her new and abundant life. Keeping the Sabbath by only focusing on not doing any work, checking the box according to the letter of the law, that's deadly. You might be right, but you're going to be dead right. We miss the main point of kingdom life. I want to share one commentator's notes on this passage. He wrote, "Jesus sees this woman when no one else does." Verse 12 says as much. "When Jesus saw her," throughout his ministry, he continues, Jesus has had his eyes trained to see those who were forgotten, left out, unnoticed by others. Perhaps this way of seeing is what inspired the Apostle Paul to exclaim to the Corinthians, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view," literally according to the flesh. "Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him that way." Keeping the Sabbath is about allowing us to see God's kingdom, to see what God's kingdom is like. What is God's kingdom like? It'd be a great question during fellowship time to share with one another what you believe God's kingdom is like in tangible ways. We need to learn to see God's kingdom. God's kingdom is not in the beauty and grandeur of majestic cathedrals that we've constructed. Those are great, but that's not the kingdom. Jesus compares God's kingdom to everyday items, little tiny moments that grow into something powerful. We need to learn to see God's kingdom in the everyday, the ordinary. To see God's kingdom in our classrooms, in the buses, in the hectic rush of, "Come on, we gotta get to school, we're running late." Where is God's kingdom in those moments? We need to see God's kingdom not as these larger-than-life, holy moments, but those little tiny seeds, the little comments and thoughts and moments and the smiles that are shared, the pause to hold a door for someone coming along with their arms full, to slow down a little bit in traffic rather than tailgating, even though we're going to be late to work, realizing, yeah, it's because I overslept my alarm. It's not their fault. How does God speak to us in these everyday moments of life? We need to learn to see God in others, in the potential that others have. the potential, in the people and places especially that the world looks to as being inadequate, marginalized, wrong. It's often through those individuals that God chooses to bring about God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the hope of being freed from the bondage of this world. May we remember the mighty ways that God has rescued humanity so that we might begin more and more to see those little moments of kingdom life breaking forth all around us, that we might be ready to travel together with one another and with Jesus through the cities, the villages, teaching, making our way to the grace and forgiveness, the freedom of the cross. What is God's kingdom like? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.